Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, July the 7th, 1985. We trust this service will be a real uplift and blessing in your life as you worship with us around the precious Word of God. We love you.
Okay, page 305, let's turn there, and we'll sing first, second, and fourth stanzas, Lead Me to Calvary.
This time we'll ask our junior ushers to come forward and take up our tithes and offerings.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, and you know, Lord, that every day that you give us is another blessing. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to come to your house to worship and to hear your word and to just join together in fellowship, praising and glorifying and honoring thy name, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you give us. The greatest blessing of all, Lord, was Jesus Christ when he died on the cross for our sins. We just pray, Lord, that this offering would be used to glorify and lift up the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior. We just pray, Lord, that all that's said and done today would bring glory and honor to thee and be pleasing in thy sight. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I believe the gardeners are going to come and sing for us now. We went through one or two verses of this a while ago, and Tom said that sounded good to him. So we're going to come up with something here.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then lit light from heaven filled my soul. It made my heart in love and wrote my name above. Talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little firmwheel turning, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometime my past seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt behind the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer wheel turning, and you know a little fire is I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to Him in prayer, He knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus, let us tell Him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer wheel turning, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Like I'm next, folks. It's good to be here. I hope that you're glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Brother James asked me to bring a message this morning. I'm no preacher, but I'll do my best. And I hope that, I know I've learned something from reading the Word and studying it for it, and I hope that you learned something from being here this morning. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's about in the middle of your Bible, yeah, Psalms, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes. We're going to be looking at the first three chapters this morning, not all of them, but parts of the first three chapters. Now, I'll be reading right now, we'll be reading quite a few verses this morning, but initially I'm going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, and then we'll go over to chapter 3 and read the first 9 verses. So the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And then over in chapter 3, the first 9 verses. These are some verses that I'm sure you're probably familiar with. Seemed like there was a song, a popular song not too long ago, that had some of this in it. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Okay, these words this morning out of the book of Ecclesiastes, I'd like to first just a few comments about the book itself. It's one of the books of wisdom, so-called wisdom books in the Old Testament. Its author is Solomon. Some have said that this is Solomon. This is what I believe. It's Solomon writing this
in his old age, looking back on his youth and his younger days. There are some that have said that it's someone has written this in the name of Solomon. I don't really believe that. I believe it's Solomon in his old age writing these words, and that's I'll probably say that a few times during the service. The book of Ecclesiastes concerns life. It concerns the meaning of life. What is life all about? If I could title what I have to say this morning, it's A Search for Life's Meaning, or What is Life All About? Okay, let's look first at Solomon. We have to, he's the author. In order to understand better what he has written, I think we need to understand more about him. We probably know a lot about Solomon already, but maybe we'll learn something from looking at this. Solomon, of course, was the king of Israel. He was the third king. We have Saul, David, and then Solomon. He's the son of King David and Bathsheba. So he grew up in the king's court, and I'm sure he was exposed to a lot of information and a lot of activity from just being in the court of King David. Probably all the matters of state and all the foreign visitors from other lands. And I'm sure that he learned a great deal just from being there. So he grew up in the court of King David. So I'm sure he was very well educated. And he was chosen to be the next king, the successor on the throne. So I'm sure that they prepared him for one day when he was to become king. So Solomon was well educated, exposed to a lot of information. Now, when he became king, he had ultimate power and authority. That is the custom in the kings at that time. They didn't have a Senate and a legislature, the Supreme Court. They didn't have things like that that we have today to tightly control on them, the checks and balance system as we have. They had the final say. And whatever they said is the way it went. So Solomon had complete power and authority. He was not questioned, and his word was the law. Now, Solomon inherited this kingdom from his father at the height of its power. David, King David, while he was king, had conquered all their enemies that were around about them. And he had organized a good government. And so there were no more wars to fight. Solomon didn't have to be concerned with fighting wars. David had already taken care of that. And so he began his reign under the very best of circumstances. Now, Solomon was a man of ability. He had a good mind, a brilliant mind, full of all this information that he had accumulated. And he was very witty and quick. You know, there's some people that can think quickly on their feet, and you confront them with something while they got an answer for it right then. And that's the way Solomon was. He had a quick and ready response to whatever the situation arose. And so very quickly he gained the reputation of being the wisest man of that time. Now Solomon was also wealthy. You would think that a king would be wealthy. But Solomon was probably the wealthiest man at that time too. For three reasons. He taxed the people very heavily. And because David conquered all these surrounding lands, they had to pay tribute to Israel. And so Solomon got this wealth, this tribute from the lands that they had conquered. And thirdly, he started foreign trade with other lands, both by land and by sea, and got great wealth from that. I read, if you can believe what you read, you can't always, but I read that he might have been making $100 million a year by our standards from his foreign trade alone. Now, don't quote that number because, like I said, you can't believe a lot of times what people say. But he was a wealthy man. That's my point. He was quite wealthy. He could have most anything that he wanted. Now, Solomon was also noted for the great buildings that he built. A lot of public buildings, he built the temple. And so Solomon was very famous. He's probably one of the famous men of ancient history. So that's the author of Ecclesiastes. This king, wealthy, powerful man. And I believe that he's writing this book now in his old age, looking back on his younger days. And he's describing how he felt. He's not writing this book with all the information and his beliefs as an old man. He's describing how he felt as he lived his life. So, let's look at in chapter 1 here. First of all, in the first verse of chapter 1, it says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem." That's Solomon, son of David, and he's king in Jerusalem. So, just tell us right here, we're talking about Solomon. In verse 2 here, he describes in a nutshell how he felt about life as a young man. It says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Vanity is a uselessness, an emptiness. He felt that life was useless and empty. He had everything under the sun, that whatever he wanted, but he felt life was useless, was empty. So, going over to verses 12, 13, and 14 now, it says, "I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven." He gave his heart, he tried his best to seek and search out with wisdom concerning all the things that are done under heaven. He was looking for a purpose in life, ways to make his life productive and satisfying. He was looking to try to have a happy life. And so he was seeking out ways that he might be satisfied and happy with his life. But verse 14 says, "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." He had seen, he says, everything under the sun. All the different ways that people try to live a happy life, a satisfied life. He had looked at it all. And he says it's all vanity. It's all useless. There's no sense to it. Now, what are some of the things that he looked at to try to be happy, to try to have a productive, satisfied life? Down there in verse 16, it talks about wisdom. We know that Solomon was a wise man, and he tried wisdom. It says, "I communed with mine own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge." So Solomon was a great wise man, and he looked toward the wisdom that he possessed to try to find the happiness and the satisfaction that he wanted in his life. But he says in verse 17, "I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit." He found no satisfaction in all the wisdom that he possessed. Now, over in chapter 2, the first three verses, we find that Solomon turned to the pleasures of the world to try to find the happiness that he looked for. Verse 1, it says, I said in mine heart, go to now, and I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. He found no happiness in the pleasures of the world. Verse 2, it speaks of laughter, and then verse 3, it speaks of wine. So, he enjoyed himself. But you can enjoy yourself for a short time, but then you come back to the real world. And so Solomon found no lasting happiness in the pleasures that he enjoyed. So next, in verses 4 through 10 of chapter 2, he's wealthy. He starts accumulating properties and servants and wealth and money, and he turns to all of this looking for happiness. Very quickly, I'll read these. There's a lot of things in here. Verses 4 through 10 says, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens. I had servants born in my house, and I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sort. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. So you can see here that Solomon had anything he wanted. He had properties, he had servants, he had gardens, he had beautiful pools of water, he had silver and gold, anything that he wanted. But was he happy? Was he satisfied? Was he content with his life? We find in verse 11 that he wasn't. It says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. You would think that a man that had all of that has got it made. But he felt it was all useless. Let's look over now in chapter 3. We won't read these again, but we'll look at the verses 1 through 9 here. He looks at life itself. Life has two sides. In each one of these verses, we see the good side and we see the bad side. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. There's a time of war. There's a time of peace. Life has two sides. But he's saying here that when you have the good times, then you have the bad times that take away, that counterbalance the good. So he's saying in verse 9, what profit hath he that worketh? What profit is life? What good is it? What do we gain from life if every good time we have is counterbalanced by a bad time? What profit is there? What What do we gain from this life that we have? He's saying we don't gain anything. It's all useless. Life is useless. It doesn't bring the satisfaction. This is the way he felt now, you got to remember. In his old age, looking back at his younger times, this is the way he felt, that life was useless, that it didn't bring satisfaction to him. So he had tried wisdom and knowledge. He had tried pleasure, laughter, the wine. He had acquired the riches and the great works, all the material possessions that he could acquire. And none of them brought him the happiness that he looked for. And he said, even look at life itself. The good is counterbalanced by the bad, so what's the use? But what was Solomon doing here? He was not doing something. In this early life that he's described to us, it's an example of the emptiness that people feel when all of their efforts are directed toward themselves. Everything that he had done, everything that he had tried to do here was directed toward himself. He wasn't considering other people. And he wasn't considering God. It was all self-centered. He had completely left God out of this, out of his early life. He left God out. His life had been self-centered. He had neglected the most important part of his life, which is his relationship with God. That's the most important part of our life. Is our relationship with God. You may be feeling the same way that Solomon felt about his early life here, that life is a drudgery, it's a struggle, there's no satisfaction in your life. You wonder sometimes, what's the use? That's the way Solomon felt. But Solomon had a change of heart. If we look over at the last two verses of this book, of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. This is the way, when Solomon is writing this, this is the way he feels at this time, in his old age. He's learned a lot. I think we all learn through time. But he says here in verses 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. In his early days, he thought that life was useless, was maybe not even worth living. But he learned throughout his life, and what he believed in the end was that we should fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. If we leave God out of our lives, we're going to be as Solomon. We're going to be looking to one thing or another to try to find the satisfaction and the happiness that we want. But if we put God into our lives, then we're going to find that happiness, that satisfaction, those things that we want out of life. So, if you're here this morning and you don't know God is your personal Savior, and you want to have a happy, satisfying, productive life, then you need to accept Christ as your Savior, because He can give you that happiness, He can give you that joy that you may be missing out on. So if you don't know him this morning, then I would encourage you to walk down this aisle and confess thee as your Savior this morning. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for each one here, Lord, and we just pray that if there is someone here that doesn't know you, and they want the joy and the happiness that can come from being one of your children, Lord, we just pray that they would walk down this aisle and would trust thee this morning. We just pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, amen. If you would, turn in your song books. The number is 217, Just As I Am. Thank you for your attention this morning, and I invite you out this evening for our evening worship. And Brother Tom, would you lead us, please, in closing prayer?
Thank you. This is the pastor, James Hamblin. Just got back from vacation, and I wanted to put a little something on the end of this tape, since there was some space left. We thank the Lord for Brother Lyndon's message and for all that the Lord did through the message. We know that the Bible says that God's word will not return void, but it will accomplish that where He pleases to send it. And so we're grateful for this message that the Lord gave Brother Lyndon, and just pray that each one of you who listen to this will get a blessing from it. We know it was a blessing to those who were in the service. We do thank God for being with us on our vacation as we travel here in Kentucky and also up in Indiana and Ohio. We got back last night. This is being taped on Thursday morning. We praise God for our church and for all the Lord did while we were gone. We just pray that His perfect will was worked out in every life as each one would look up and realize that the Lord has a plan and a purpose for each one of them. We just pray that you who listen to our tapes each week would be praying for our church as we seek to do God's will and as we seek to lead men and women, boys and girls, to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and seek to build up those who are saved in the faith and that they would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the only purpose our church is here in Airport Gardens, is to reach the lost and help the Christians to grow, to be more Christ-like in their daily walk and their daily talk. I know that God certainly is blessing, and we just want His blessings to continue to flow through each one of us as we seek to do God's will. Let's have a closing word of prayer together here on this Thursday morning, Thursday, the 11th of July, 1985. Again, I want to thank the Lord for Brother Lyndon, and as he preached on Sunday morning, this past Sunday morning, and Brother Earl Clemens, who spoke on Sunday night, and also Brother Pearl Burns, who took charge of our prayer service last night, which was Wednesday night. We know God is able to lead us, but we need to be willing to be led. Let's have closing prayer together. Our Father, we thank Thee for giving us such friends and such Christian brothers and sisters here in our church at Airport Gardens. We just pray for each one of them. And help us, Lord, as we continue to lift up Jesus here in this place, that He truly will be seen and lifted up to be the way, the truth, and the life. We know certainly He is the one who needs to be lifted. And help us each one to lift Him up throughout the days ahead. As we celebrate another anniversary on August the 10th and 11th, we pray that You'd give us a wonderful time of fellowship together there as we fellowship around Your Word. Again, thank Thee for this message by Brother Lyndon. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.